This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and thispipelife.com. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, good evening to you, sir. How you doing tonight?
You know, I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. We're on into August now, and man, I'm just kind of surprised at how, you know, as hot as it is, business has just kind of, it's just kind of rebounded. Generally, this time of year, people don't want to be near anything hot, and that includes pipes and cigars, and man, our pipe smokers have just been coming out of the woodworks.
Well, I know
it's really awesome.
I know that people don't want to be anywhere near anything hot, but I notice your close proximity to me, so I appreciate it.
Ah, I love being near things that are just filthy.
No, man. Yeah, the weather is crazy. Of course, right now.
You idiot. I'm just kidding.
As this episode airs, I'm out in Grand Rapids, where who knows what the weather is like. I'm just hoping that the fishing is nice, because I mean that's one of the things. It's one of the reasons I go out to Grand Rapids every single year is to get my fishing on, and also enjoy my pipe as I'm taking in all of nature. In fact,
that's right.
Just this morning, I was talking to my wife about various locations of where we can fish out in kind of that area. And I've got to tell you, man, it is beautiful in the Midwest this time of year.
Yeah.
And so I'm really looking forward to that. And although that being said, I do miss being here. Where all of the pipe action is happening.
Well, you know, it does have its own its own charm, but it's good to get out occasionally and just kind of see the broader world and interact with different pipe smokers and other places. And of course, we've got a great listenership and friend base up in the Grand Rapids area. Of course, all over Michigan, really. For some reason, that's just developed into quite an awesome pocket of friends of us. And I'm always so honored by all the really kind people up in that part of the world. So
absolutely,
man. Anyway, I hope. I hope you're having a really good time on that on your trip.
Man, it is crazy because I mean, like in the earliest days, thinking back 4 years ago, like the earliest days of these podcasts, our largest audience was coming specifically from Michigan.
Isn't that strange?
Didn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, like from Grand Rapids and specifically. And the weird thing is, of course, my wife, my in-laws, they're all from Grand Rapids, but I didn't know anybody. Like there was almost no connection. And actually, some of those guys we figured out after the fact they went to school with my wife, but I have no earthly idea.
That is crazy.
Like how that connection happened, other than the fact that there just is kind of a natural kind of pipe community that was there.
Well, like we talked about last week. I mean, the Michigan just in general has an incredible tradition of pipe carvers, pipe smokers, just really strong, pipe community up there. So I don't know. It's just cool. I really hope I was talking to our friend Eric Karlowski that is at Indian River Tobacco Traders there. And, I just really hope that next year is the year I can get up that way and kind of see that
not just
interact with those guys up there, but also see that part of the world. I've heard Michigan is really, really lovely.
So. Well, it's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, Saturday the 12th is going to be our meetup. That's this coming Saturday. So join us. For all the details, be sure to follow me on Twitter at The Real Bo York. Also follow at Beardcore as well. Beardcore in many respects is kind of like our on boots on the ground representative,
almost feel like he's kind of our mascot. Too.
Man, he's a cousin. we got guys that like have kind of risen to that Country Squire Radio like family member.
Like
we got family members, but then we got like the family. And so Beardcore is one of them.
He sits at the big table.
He sits at the big table, right next to Papa Joe. He's there, man. He's there. So, but yeah, one way or the other, follow the two of us for the details as we get closer to Saturday. And hope to see a lot of y'all out there. I'm really looking forward to it. And it should be a lot of fun. Of course, beyond that, we do have some other major big meetup happening in the pipe world.
That's right.
I'm talking about the Texas Pipe Show.
It's just so ridiculous every time. But we're so excited.
Are you kidding me? Fort Worth, Texas is going to be a blast. October, of course, you're going to want to make it there for, of course, October 7th at Pop Safari Room, Fort Worth, Texas. Barbecue is somewhere. I don't know if they're actually going to have it.
Barbecue, pipe smoking, all kinds of
everything.
Cowboy shenanigans.
We're all about that.
Long smoke competition, pipe carvers, tobacco blenders.
Yes. live podcasts,
live Hobbit looking podcasters. I mean, there's just going to be all kinds of all kinds of shenanigans. It's going
to
be great.
Who was I talking to recently that mentioned they saw us, I think, for the first time in New Orleans, and they were still shocked by how short we were. And I was like, when we say we're hobbits,
no, it just kind of,
we mean it.
No, we're tiny people.
It's just part of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, a couple weeks ago, we actually had, I believe it was our friend Josh from Georgia by way of Venezuela.
Yeah. Right.
And he, you know, I remember he saw you and he was like, you know, I knew he was short, but I didn't know he was that short.
Yeah. Like, does he have a condition? No.
Does he have a condition?
That's just what I look like. But come see what we look like. Again, that is going to be October the 7th in Fort Worth, Texas. Pop Safari Room. A, if you're a carver, be sure to lock down your table while they are available.
That's right.
It's absolutely free to you to do carvers, so make that happen. And yeah, who knows? Maybe we might come around to your table to interview you. I've got a whole new recording set up. It's a lot of fun, so we'll be having some fun with that. So yeah, be there. It's going to be a blast,
man. One other piece of announcement that I'll like to put out here. We've got a small neighborhood event this week here in Jackson called Bright Lights Belhaven Nights.
Oh yeah,
it's in actually the neighborhood you and I are in and around.
It's like three doors down from your house.
Exactly. because of that, I was like, you know what, we're gonna have a little fun with this. And so we're actually this Saturday night inviting the Magnolia Pipe Club. If you're a paid up member of the Magnolia Pipe Club, the Pipe Club is actually going to cover the cost of your entrance to two Bright Lights Belhaven Nights, and then afterwards we're actually all going to go back to my porch and sit on the porch and smoke pipe.
Well, I don't want to be in Grand Rapids for that. I want to be back home.
Well, that's your loss, man. You're having parties up there with people I love, and I'm just repaying the favor.
I hang out with who you love, so you're hanging out with who I love. Okay,
yeah,
I see that. I see how this goes.
Our very own Mark VV is actually driving up from New Orleans to come hang out that night.
What?
So, man, it'll be great.
Oh,
I hope we have a good turnout. And man, if you're a member of the Magnolia Pipe Club or not, come join us. Just if you're a member of the Pipe Club, you'll have your ticket paid for. But other than that, it'll be a great time.
Okay, so there was going to be a GR Country Squire Radio listener meetup, as well as, I mean, a Magnolia Pipe Club meetup, but Country Squire Radio Mississippi meet. We need to like do like hashtag CSRGR, hashtag CSRMS. I want to see some pictures. And guys in Grand Rapids, we need to show up and show out.
Are we going to try to outdo each other?
Well,
is that the thing?
You can try to outdo us. What I am telling you is that we will outdo you. That's the way.
That's fair.
That's what's going down.
That's fair. I hope, you know, we're going to listen to a lot of great music. Eat a lot of good food and stay up late and sit on the porch.
So. Well, we're going to do it even harder. I don't know what that means.
Great.
All right, we got a great show tonight that we are doing for you guys. It's a tobacco talk.
That's right.
So we like to do things from time to time, a little series, if you will. Of course, we do our Squire Select, which we did last week. We do pipe culture. We do Heroes of the Bowl. But there is a favorite that comes around.
is it. Yep.
Man, once about every 8 or 10 episodes, and that, of course, is a tobacco talk.
That's right.
Man,
that's right.
This is where we essentially, you know, this is where we make good on the promise of a pipe tobacco podcast, right?
Like, exactly.
Theoretically, anybody who's tuning in is tuning in because they want to hear us review tobaccos. Well, guess what? That's what a tobacco
talk is. That's what we do today. That's right. Well, you know, we dedicate a lot of our different shows. We're always going to pepper in stuff about pipes and pipe tobacco.
Oh, always. Yeah,
but
yeah.
Of course, today is our the day we pull out the big guns.
It's the purest of the podcast.
The purest. The purest that's like, why do I even listen to this, you know, crap? That, you know, they tune in for the tobacco talk, right?
The tobacco talk.
So it's fantastic, man. Yeah, I picked out some fun stuff today to talk about, and I thought we'd go with those and see what's going on.
All right. I'm really excited, man. So we got two different tobaccos.
That's right.
We've done this from different ways from time to time, because sometimes we're like, there's one tin, one shot blend.
No, of course.
Last time, I think, if I'm not mistaken, we did two shot blends.
We did. It was
War of the Roses.
Yeah, that's right. Lancaster and White Rose.
To balance it out this week, we got two tins.
We're going tins, baby. That's right. We're stuff you can get at any reputable tobacconist. And today we've got a couple of really good ones. We're going to start tonight with GL Peace, Regent's Flake.
Oh,
GL Peace. This is from his Old London series. Of course, Greg, listener of the show, friend of the Country Squire.
Love Greg.
Yeah, he's just a great guy and one of the most talented blenders, I think, out there right now, and makes some mostly stronger tobaccos. He focuses a lot on Virginias, Latakia, Orientals, dark fired burley, cigar leaf, things like that. And this is a guy that literally started doing this out of his kitchen, and eventually got connected with Cornell and Deal, and just ran with it. And Greg makes some great tobaccos. So really excited to talk about this.
Wait, and the thing is, when you say in his kitchen, you literally mean in his kitchen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because a lot of time that becomes such a like a thrown around thing for product development.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, they started in their garage or something. Well, if you mean like the garage at their office or something.
Right. Exactly. Right. This is legit in his kitchen. He was cooking. He just wasn't cooking food.
He wasn't cooking food, baby. Yeah, that's right. Greg, he does such a good job. And he's got an entire series here, this Old London series that he came out with actually just a year ago. It's a year ago July when he came out with this. And a lot of excitement that surrounded it. We got an initial batch of these tins of Regent's Flake at the Squire, and they immediately sold. They were all gone just within a number of hours. So the Old London series, what he's done here is he's been talking about purist. He's really throwing a bone to the purist here. So he has taken all these tobaccos, and these are absolutely zero cased flavorings, topped sugars, or additives. And so this is tobacco in literally the rawest form that you can consume it.
Which
is really nice. You know, a lot of folks, of course, we talked about our casing episode not too long ago where we discussed casings and toppings and things like that. A lot of times folks don't realize that even on your quote-unquote non-aromatic tobaccos, you know, there is some little bit of casing maybe to take off the edge of the natural flavor of the tobacco, things like that, because some tobaccos just in their natural form are just kind of foul, you know. But what he did, he was real deliberate on these tobaccos in this Old London series to pick things that in their natural state were going to smoke great right out of the out of the bag, and then also things that would age well in tins. You know, Greg's real key on making premium stuff typically that has the capability to over time, you know, gain some complexity, maybe some sweetness, things like that, which just, you know, I admire a lot.
So to do a food comparison, I mean, I think about like, you know, how there's different cuts of beef, and like there's some steaks that like you're going to want to like tenderize them, and you know, you're going to want to soak it in Worcestershire for like a day before you actually cook it.
Yeah, no, that's right.
But then you got like the filet mignon, you've got the porterhouse,
right?
Exactly. Like literally, if it's salt and pepper and that's it, and some people don't even need that,
right?
Because just the flavor is there. So that's kind of the mindset behind all of the different tobaccos
in this series. That's interesting. Correct. So today we're talking about Regent's Flake. I'll read you the back of the tin here. It says, a generous measure of fine Izmir leaf is layered on a sturdy foundation of mature red and sweet, bright Virginia tobaccos, then pressed and allowed to mature and ferment in cakes before being sliced and tinned. This is one for the lover of Oriental mixtures, with their exotic and enticing incense-like aroma and brilliant flavor. Rub a flake or two, fill a cherished pipe, and prepare for an exceptional smoking experience.
Mm. So
it's basically like poetry there.
Well, you know how Greg does.
Is what you come to expect from our friend Greg.
Exactly.
So anyway, just a really nice artwork on this. It's got a map of London there on the tin, and I'll let you open that and smell it, Bo.
Foggy London town. Oh man. Yeah, you know, I always love how GL. I want to call him GL because
the old GL
Greenlander. But I always love how Greg presents his different tins, and smells delicious. But I mean, like, this is like very much a tobacco tin note.
That's
like,
right.
Like, you don't open it up and immediately get like this, you know, this meal or this barbecue that's
in front of you.
This is very much like it is a
like straight up tobacco.
Even
a lot of times when you open a tin of something that features a lot of Latakias, you know, you're just kind of hit in the face with smokiness or something. This just has a really clean flavor to it, which I think is super nice. So,
man, that's great. Yeah.
So what he's done here, as he said, there's a lot of bright yellow Virginias in this tobacco, lighter colored Virginias, more natural sugar. But the tobacco is kind of based on a red Virginia, which of course is going to be much more mellow, richer, smoother, softer, creamier, all those things. And then there's a lot of Turkish tobaccos that he's added there too. So a small amount of perique is put in the tobacco, which I think is interesting. What it does is, according to Greg, and I think this makes sense, it kind of brings out some of the more floral and fruity notes in some of the other tobaccos. It's kind of used almost as a very small condiment to just accent some of the other flavors that are there. So, you know, when I taste this tobacco, the Regent's Flake, of course, what you would expect from, you know, darker color Virginias, mellow, rich. You know, the Orientals in there are strong enough, and there's enough of them to make it kind of have that signature Oriental kind of mustiness. You know, it's kind of a mustiness that's very pleasant, but kind of reminds you of an old cedar chest or something. It's just got that real
interesting,
kind of aged smell to it. It is just kind of warm and feels cozy. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, like, I immediately get the sense of, like, you know, you and I, we've been very blessed to be able to go behind the scenes and a couple of different tobacco. In my case, I've traveled around to a lot of different tobacco shops,
right,
or places,
right,
where they'll, you know, blend their own tobaccos or even roll their own cigars and that,
right,
sort of thing. And, like, going into kind of the tobacco storage area where you just have,
yeah,
like the only way I could kind of describe it is almost like bales of hay, except it's bales of tobacco. And, like, you know, it is, it's just like this, like, a cellar, like this true cellar.
That's
of
right.
Hanging tobacco and, like, you know, bales of it and everything else.
That's right.
And I get a same kind of sense of, you know, the tin note for this particular tobacco, just that very much, you know, there's no cherry in this one.
No, that's exactly right. There's no cherry. There's no simple syrup. There's no sugar topping added, any type of casing to take the edge off. It's just kind of there.
Yeah.
You know? And you do kind of, it is reminiscent of maybe that old pipe shop smell, you know, that kind of thing. So the perique is there and it kind of adds to some of that pleasant mustiness. But I think the perique mostly is going to, it really comes through where I think perique shines, to add that kind of pepper vinegar, those vinegar pepper tones there, which I always think perique kind of majors in. So, you know, you get a little bit of sweetness. You know, they say, and some folks really do say, at the very end of the puff, you kind of get just a little hint of fruit, maybe some dried plum or, you know, raisins or something like that.
I can't believe you went there.
And I went there and I did that. And I don't know. I don't get as much of the fruit there. I think it's just a really sound, you know, kind of soft, rich tobacco that's got a lot of masculine flavors. There.
All right.
So, yeah. Good tobacco. Regent's Flake from GLP's.
Greg, the make the manly man's tobacco right here.
That's right.
Although, ladies, if you enjoy it.
And it's got a beautiful tint.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. All right.
It's so got a map of London, so you can take it on your trip.
Dude, looking at that map of London makes me miss London
makes
so
much. Makes you
want
to go, right?
Oh, my gosh.
How many times have you been?
Only the one time, but just I was there for like a week and a half or something, and I just...
Oh, I remember that.
Love to go back.
You know, I went one time. It was all the way back in high school, so, gosh, that was in the Stone Age, I guess. Just a beautiful city. I was too young, I guess, to really appreciate
a lot of
it, but... yeah, I'd love to go back too.
It's a beauty. All right, so from London to where are we traveling next?
To back to the United States by way of, I know, Missouri and probably Pennsylvania.
Oh, well, there you go.
So this is the next one we've got. This is an interesting tobacco and a different one than we've ever done before. This is a tobacco that's it actually is kind of hard to find. And it was done as a kind of a limited run, although it's still available. And this is called Mike and Russ, the Mind Meld.
Ooh.
And the Mind Meld.
What's going on with that name?
Yeah,
right,
lot going on here. So it's a Virginia ribbon pipe tobacco. The concept here was that...
It's the Vulcan Mind Meld. They I don't know much about Star Trek, but I do know that that's a thing.
That's a thing.
I'm pretty sure that's a thing.
Well, it is now, and I'm sure we'll be corrected if it's not.
Of course we will.
Because those people will correct. So Mike and Russ, Mike McNeil is the owner of, the blender and head tobacco artist over at McClelland.
Right.
And Russ Ouellette is the, kind of has the same position, I guess, at pipesandcigars.com, which of course is owned by Smoking Pipes. And so Russ at Smoking Pipes, he's kind of their you know, tobacco blender type. And then you've got Mike, who is the head honcho over at McClellan.
Tobacconist at large.
Yeah, that's right. And so these are guys that obviously are well respected in the industry and have just a lot of experience behind the tobacco scale and all that kind of stuff. And so they decided to actually collaborate.
Basically, when two tobacconists love each other very much, they come together.
They come together.
They give each other a special blend.
That's right. Something happens. You know, we don't like to discuss these things necessarily at a young age. Once you're of age to understand, we go into more detail where they get together and
it's a beautiful thing.
And do magical things and out comes something like the mind meld.
All right.
That's right. So
let's check out the love child of Russ and Mike.
That's right. That's right. So Mike from McClelland and Russ from Cigars International, and you've got the again, just a kind of a simple tin. It's real nice. It's kind of that typical McClellan style tin that also mimics the one that our GLP's tobacco came in today. And he says, Virginia Ribbon Pipe Tobacco. The back says, top grade sweet orange Virginia leaf, aged to mellow, then aged again in press cakes to darken and smooth, then spun into a ribbon for easy packing. Virginia as it should be. So, and it goes on to say, an outstanding blending collaboration of thoughts and tastes between McClellan's Mike McNeil and Pipes and Cigars' Russ Ouellette. So just a real nice tobacco, nice simple presentation. You know, when you open the tin note is very, very reminiscent of 5100 from McClellan. So you look in there, you immediately recognize the red Virginias, probably in a cake form, and then spun to be easy for packing, and just a kind of a chunky ribbon cut. But Bo, here, I'll let you smell that.
Mm-hmm. All right, passing that on over. Beautiful tin as well. Oh, wow. Yeah. Now, this is a bit of a gear shift from the last one.
That's because, right.
You know,
yeah.
Not that this one, you know, not that this one doesn't also have kind of the tobacco quality tobacco smell
right.
as well.
Right.
But man, yeah, you get that that vinegar.
There's more of the signature vinegar that you might expect from a McClellan style blend that is certainly there.
My mouth is watering, actually.
Yeah. I mean, it just smells great. Immediately, you know, this is a tobacco that's going to be super mellow. Easy to keep lit, easy to puff on, and nice, you know, smoke production and all that kind of stuff. You just kind of get that sense immediately. The orange Virginias, these are medium-bodied Virginias with a modest amount of sugar. And so, you know, again, orange, red Virginias, stoved Virginias, these are all typically more mellow flavors. You know, it's not going to have that super bright, sugary nicotine stuff that the lighter colors have. So, you know, again, when you smell the tin, you really do get that sense of 5100 from McClelland. It's one of those immediate smells where you're like, oh man, this is a, you know, this has got to have something to do with those folks over in Kansas City. So,
you know, I really love the look and feel that the tin. It's got kind of a
it's just real clean.
Yeah, kind of a brown, almost like recycled paper look underneath it that wraps around. And,
yeah.
You know, very very fine, simple text that's being used in terms of the font, but just a nice little. It's not like a like too much flair. It's almost like a, I don't even know exactly how to describe it, but just this lean modern font that almost looks like you know, like these guys collaborated in a dorm room somewhere.
That's
like,
right.
Like put it together, and I mean that like with all due compliments.
They kind of did,
yeah,
you know. I
absolutely.
Mean, I think they kind of, you know, that was kind of the goal here, and I think they came out with something great. So
you've been enjoying this quite a bit because you're almost down to the dregs.
I have.
Right
this
here.
Is. It's got just a little bit left in it, and it's been a lot of fun to smoke. This is a great all day tobacco. So where the Regent's Flake we discussed earlier has more body. There's more, you know, certainly more strength. It's got flavors that are very distinctive and
kind of more of a special occasion.
Yeah, more special occasion or maybe after a meal or
a
certain time of day. You know, the Mike and Russ, the mind meld, this is more of a all day, everyday kind of tobacco. You know what I mean? This is something that you're going to be able to smoke, you know, all the time.
And you've been practicing what you can preach.
And I have. I have. So, you know, what they've done, they kind of, again, and I think they kind of even mentioned this on the back of the tin, but they, you know, they let the Virginias age. Obviously, Virginias do well when they've got some time under their belt. And so, you know, just something magical. We always talk about that happens to those sugars with those anaerobic reactions that are occurring. And so, you know, the Virginia's aged, then they combine it with the red and Stowe Virginia's. Stowe Virginia's, it seems like we've been discussing more of those recently. These are tobaccos that are essentially, you know, cooked on kind of a griddle. You know, they're tobaccos that are cooked until they're kind of in a caramelized state. So I like weighing up Stowe Virginia's at the Squire because they always have this kind of I don't know, pellet-like form. They're really just kind of these hard little granules of Virginias that have really just kind of caramelized and are really rich, smooth, subtle. I don't know. I love blending with them. They, you know, are really unique tobacco. They're very expensive tobaccos because they, you know, there's just a lot of extra work that goes into creating them. But obviously, the Stowe Virginia and the Red Virginia, these are two things where McClelland really excels. And I guess, you know, in combining with Russ, these more orange Virginias that are, tend to be a little brighter, you know, what they've come out with is just a really nice all-day smoke. So not, you know, I'll be honest, not tons of flavor here. This is not a super flavorful blend. This is not going to be something that you smoke and you just start to probably crave you know, your mouth waters kind of around it after you smoke it, and you're thinking, man, I just can't wait for the next bowl of that. But for a good all day, kind of everyday tobacco, you know, I think this is an excellent blend. And it certainly, you know, as you would expect from a tobacco like this, it just stays lit so easy. It burns cool. It's extremely clean. So it doesn't leave any kind of crazy residue or anything in your pipe. It's just very good. And for those that maybe are not McClelland fans because of that signature kind of vinegar that you smell from, you know, this is going to be something that maybe you might enjoy. Yeah. So for those of you that aren't McClelland fans but might want to try something that Mike has created with his friend Russ, this is something you really might want to check out. I think this is something that that you could enjoy and maybe give a chance to. It certainly has that, but it's I think it's a bit muted compared to some of the other McClellans that we know and love.
How can you not be a McClelland fan?
No, of course we are, and I, you know, they're probably, I don't know, my number one favorite brand, you know, as far as just you know, what they do, the quality of stuff they work with, the consistency and all those things. But yeah, some people, you know, they open the tin and that's just not a thing they go for, right? You know, the Virginias that are there, you know, the, you know, processes that McClelland used to age them and all that, you know, they're just not as big of a fan.
Then just
of that,
buy the tin and look at the artwork. It's fantastic.
I know, man.
You got the little frog more.
That's right. And the whale and the dolphin and all that. No, it wasn't a dolphin. We talked about that last week.
It wasn't
week,
a
right?
seal.
It wasn't a seal.
Which, by the way, the live
seal
audience
doesn't have a seal. It has a dolphin.
Yeah, the live audience is like, all right, well, they did it again. Apparently, I don't remember making that joke, but apparently we make it every single time.
Do we really?
That, yeah.
Wow, I don't remember making that at all. But that's funny. So we just made it again. Great.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's the Mind Meld from Mike and Russ. And Mike, of course, with McClelland, Russ Roulette from PipesandCigars.com, Cigars International. And anyway, they I think they've made a fine product here.
I've got a question. When you're picking out these tobaccos for the Tobacco Talk, what guides you?
Gosh, it's just kind of what I've been smoking. You know, it's what I've been smoking. It's what, you know, I've had that's come across my you know, counter that I think I've had kind of a strong opinion about, or maybe that I think people would enjoy. Yeah, it's just kind of whatever is around at the time that I feel comfortable with and familiar with, and you know, that I can discuss kind of at length. And and typically, you know, we have talked about tobaccos that I have reviewed but haven't necessarily recommended before.
That's true.
We, yeah, we have done that, but I have. You know, on average, these tend to be tobaccos that I, you know, smoke and believe in.
I just want to point out that you're, yeah, hanging out around the Country Squire all day long. The concept of, oh, you know, whatever I have around does not narrow it down.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, you know, one of the great things that you and I do enjoy talking about from time to time is our good friends over at Missouri Meerschaum.
That's right. A lot of good friends at Missouri Meerschaum. Of course, Phil and his team up there have put together just quite an incredible story, you know, over the past 100 years. You know, the Missouri Meerschaum pipes historically historically have been very high quality, very reasonably priced, made from corn that they grow actually themselves and harvest themselves. They've got just a remarkable variety of shapes, finishes, sizes, styles, and they're just a lot of fun to smoke.
Absolutely. And hey, you know, one of those great pipes that I'll be enjoying actually this this particular week is actually My Country Gentleman.
That's
I,
right.
I know we reference it a lot on the show, and that's because, honestly, it's one of my favorites.
And it's one of the best-selling Missouri Meerschaum pipes. That's right.
And it, for a reason. I mean, it's a good-sized bowl. You get a lot of tobacco in there. And I have fished on many occasion with My Country Gentleman. It's actually a custom job. That,
that's right.
If I'm not mistaken, Flucher actually did for me back in the day.
Yeah.
And yeah, I like to call it the salmon slayer, yet I have yet to slay a salmon with it. But one way or the other, smoke your Missouri Meerschaum, and maybe if all of us are smoking at the exact same time, maybe the fish will somehow
maybe
be
the
drawn
salmon
to
spirits
me.
Will be, yeah, drawn to you. That's right. That's right. This could be the year.
I'm telling you, man. But no matter what your Missouri Meerschaum pipe of choice is, smoke it this week, take a picture. We tweet that to us. We retweet it out. It's a great way to let the folks at Missouri Meerschaum know that you appreciate them for supporting this show.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week this week comes in from Christopher Nolan. Wait, no, that's not right. Christopher Nelson. Christopher Nelson, who did not write The Dark Knight or Dunkirk. Which I believe is a movie.
Right.
He says, Christopher Nelson does say, he says, I've got a pipe question for you guys. I own one Peterson pipe with an Army mount. I have found that being able to take apart a hot pipe, especially a stem pipe, is a nice
pipe.
A system pipe is a nice perk. However, I'm not seeing any downsides. Are there any particular reasons to avoid an Army mount pipe, or is it just personal preference? Thanks, guys. Again, that comes from Christopher Nelson.
Yeah, man, Christopher, great question and a good thoughts on the Army mount pipe. Obviously, Army mount pipes were invented for incredibly practical reason. I mean, these were pipes that, if you're not familiar with what we're talking about, typically the shank and the stem of the pipe fit. We call it a flush fit. So the there's no diameter difference between the shank and the stem of the pipe. It just kind of evenly flows from one into the other. Army mount or military mount pipes are unique in that they kind of the end of the shank is generally capped with some type of metal. So
right.
Nickel or sterling silver. It kind of comes to a ball on the very end, and then the stem is a. It just kind of plugs into the end of that ball. And so you think of just the, tapered stem, just kind of narrowing there at the end and then plugging into that that metal ball there at the end of the stem. And this was designed, obviously, so you could take your pipe apart while it was hot. Very
right.
practical. You're in the field as, maybe someone who's doing some training or actually outside of a combat area or something. And, you just don't have a lot of time to fool with your pipe, and you want it to obviously continue to work as you smoke it and care for it. So you can take these pipes apart while they're hot. It's really great because that metal kind of cap on the end of that the shank, that ball area, just really the connection style enables it to stay tight throughout its lifetime, which is really nice. So so it really is a personal preference. A lot of folks don't like how army mounts fit in their hand. Some folks think that because it is connected that certain way, it allows for more moisture to gather in between. When you've got a pipe is drilled for a traditional stem, ideally the tenon, which is the part of the stem that goes into the shank, that little piece that comes out, typically, ideally, the tenon is going to go all the way to the draft hole. But in an Army mount stem, a lot of times that isn't the case. There's some kind of little gap there between the end of the stem and the beginning of the draft hole. And in Peterson, it's even complicated a little more because Peterson has introduced this idea, and of course other folks have followed suit, but a lot of Peterson pipes have this reservoir that's built up. So there's this little tiny reservoir that's in the stem of the pipe. It actually is designed to collect your saliva in this little pool before the saliva gets down into the bowl. What that does, it makes your smoke drier, and supposedly cooler, you know, and so, you know, there's pluses and minuses to that. A lot of folks, you know, can't stand that type of pipe because the you know, saliva, it'll build up in that little pool until it kind of overflows. And then, you know, in your mid smoke, you've got to take your pipe apart and dump all this crud out of your pipe.
Gross.
It's just kind of gross. Yeah. You know, with a normal pipe, if you're smoking high quality tobacco, a lot of times you won't, you know, won't have the need for something like that. But, you know, some people salivate more than others. And, you know, there's just, everyone's got their personal preference. So some people that have these military style pipes that that do have the little reservoir in them, like the Petersons, you know, they want to keep them super, super clean. And so they'll even carry Q-tips with them while they're smoking their pipe, just, you know, to clean out that little area. You know, for me, I just don't want to fool with that. So, you know, I don't, you know, particularly care for that. You know, but a military mount stem, I think, is a nice thing to have in your collection, and if you enjoy it, man, I think you should stick to it. But, you know, as far as the smoking quality, you know, I think there's just not a lot of difference there.
Well, that's a great question, Christopher.
Great question.
And hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week, send it in. Country Squire Radio is the show that you're listening to. Show@countrysquireradio.com is the place to send it in. And again, thank you for Christopher for sending in this pipe question, as well as Inception. That was an amazing movie.
Quick Fire with the Squire.
Quick Fire with Joe!
Ow!
All right, this comes in from Wookie Jake.
Oh, Wookie Jake.
Yeah. Neither one of us are good at wookie noises, but I'm glad we now know that. all right, here we go. Tent or lean-to?
Tent.
Yeah, okay, I was recently thinking about this, not necessarily from the traditional standpoint, but more so from the blanket fort standpoint. All right, no. I came home one day.
I'm tracking with you.
I came home one day, and my children were with a babysitter, and they had constructed the most amazing, like not pillow fort, but like blanket fort.
No, it was a blanket fort.
It was massive. It was almost like a maze. I was very impressed with, you know, my children are.
That's what you want.
It's impressive. Here's the thing, though. I was thinking about, if you don't necessarily have the you know, advanced engineering skills that my children do, what do you do in that scenario? Like, these kids are way smarter than I was. Like, back in my day, we would do kind of a lean-to type setup where you'd have, like, the blanket lying on the top of the couch to the side of the couch, and that was
right.
Kind of your deal.
That was good enough. But these kids, they've got more resources now.
I think, like, you can actually buy, like, blanket fort teepees now. Like, that's a thing.
That's just ridiculous.
Well, you get more space when it's all said and done. A lean-to is really so impractical, just in every single way. I'm gonna go with TP.
The TP wasn't even an answer.
Oh, I was thinking tent from a TP standpoint.
That's great. It sounds like you went with tent.
I'm definitely going with tent. All the way.
You get more
room to move around.
Oh, that's great. That's great in your blanket TP tent. That's right.
All right, knife or hatchet?
Knife.
Hatchet!
I carry a knife with me every day. I use it every day. I love my knife.
Ah, oh, but hatchet is so much cooler.
No, hatchet is cooler. I'm not saying it's not cooler, but I'm a knife guy.
All right, fair enough. Well, I was recently watching, of course, the new season of Game of Thrones is out. The season premiere, I think they said it was like close to Super Bowl numbers in terms of people tuning in.
Oh,
it's
my
like
gosh.
Crazy. And they introduced late in last season this character of this kind of pirate king, essentially. And he's crazy. He's like jumps into battle and does crazy things. He has as his weapon choice an axe, and I'm like, oh man. That's so awesome. it looks crazy. It looks awesome. So yeah, I think just the knife is, or I'm sorry, the hatchet is
right.
It's an axe.
Well,
man.
Which leads us into our next question.
Axe or machete?
I'm going to go with axe.
I definitely axe.
Yeah. I mean, I like a machete for clearing brush, right? But I don't have much brush to clear. I don't have much wood to chop either, but occasionally I do chop wood.
You can toss some axes. You know, famous last words, throw me the machete. All right, and then finally, we've got sleeping. Think about it.
No, yeah, I don't want anyone throwing me a machete. No, that's right.
And then finally, we've got sleeping bag or wool blanket.
Sleeping bag.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Wool is not comfortable.
Hey, I mean, it can be. It's warm. You just don't want to be right next to it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I guess if you had something in between, but most sleeping bags are going to be nice and cozy.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so there you go. That comes in from Wookie Jake. All Thanks so much for sending them in. Of course, Wookie Jake sending them in from thispipelife.com, an amazing online community. Join thispipelife.com today and use the code CSR when you do. That lets them know you heard about it on this show. You can get engaged with thispipelife.com in a lot of different ways. They're also on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Wherever you are social, they will socially be for you. So thispipelife.com. Check them out again. That is CSR when you do.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
All right, listen up. Feedback this week, man. We've got some great listener feedback in. The first one comes from J.N. Murray, 3 on iTunes. What does J.N. Murray say?
He says, "Oh, snap. I recently found your podcast after renewed interest in pipe smoking after sharing a smoke with my uncle on his 67th birthday. I even had the pleasure of chatting with Caleb when I called the Country Squire with some questions and ended up purchasing a couple of Missouri Meerschaums, hard to come by in these parts of Ventura, California, and some Lowland Pine tobacco." Of course, Caleb blended that
course,
as well,
Caleb,
which is great. Matter of fact, I've been smoking Lowland Pine today. It's a great tobacco. But thank you so much, John David, for rocking us each week with your deep trove of knowledge, and I know it's a tall order, but please try to keep Bo's singing to a minimum. And I fail at that every week. But J.N. Murray 3, I am grateful for you, and thanks for suffering along with me.
Absolutely. I hear you. Look, I'm trying to cut back.
No, it's one of those things, you know. It's kind of an endearing deal.
Endearing, but only a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta pepper it in. You gotta be careful about not doing it.
We've got limits, you know. Yeah.
I think I've been pushing the limits.
We've got limits.
I'm gonna do my best to hold back.
Just hold on the show too.
I just wish that I could turn back time.
Oh, it's so bad. Oh, it's awful. We need to have a Country Squire Radio karaoke night.
Hey, you said it, not me. Hey, we want to make sure that you guys get a chance to tune in for the live show. We'll be back, by the way, with the live show on next Monday night. That is going to be at 8:30 p.m. Central, 6:30 Pacific, 9:30 Eastern Time. Again, you can find that at countrysquireradio.com. You can also keep up with us throughout the week. You can follow me. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
And of course, for all that information and more, you can check us out at CountrySquireRadio.com. All right, man, this is a great show.
I had a blast tonight. I always love talking about new tobaccos, and of course, we've had a lot of events going on and things like that.
Yeah.
Several announcements. We're getting closer to the Texas Pipe Show. Of course, this weekend for the Magnolia Pipe Club folks will be fun, and man, it was just a lot of neat stuff to look forward to this fall.
Yeah, so, man, and the Saturday GR versus Mississippi CSR Meetup 2017.
How do you quantify? Like, how are you going to judge this? Like, smoke off
quality of pizza served. The amount of beverages and, of course, the tobacco variations, and the crazy photos. I think it's all
the crazy photos.
It's the crazy
I think
photos.
That's the part that
that's,
yeah
that's gonna be
that's
it.
the most determining.
All yeah. right, I'm just get ready, man, because it's on.
I hope y'all have fun, dude.
Let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
Been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.